Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, June 4th. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, federal funding boosts Humboldt childcare, Technical Rescue hosts critical fundraiser on Friday, and Soham Healthcare District continues to expand services. Stay tuned. News on those stories and more coming right up. The Humboldt County Department of Aviation will conduct a full-scale emergency simulation training exercise on Wednesday, June 5th from 9 a.m. to noon. This event will occur at and around the California Redwood Coast Humboldt County Airport, located at 3561 Boeing Avenue in McKinleyville. This exercise will be loud and involve multiple agencies, including the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, U.S. Coast Guard Sector Humboldt Bay, Humboldt County Department of Health and Human Services, Humboldt County Sheriff's Office of Emergency Services, several local fire departments, ambulance providers, the American Red Cross, airline personnel, and more. During the exercise, those near ACV should expect to hear sirens, see emergency lights, and witness participants with mock injuries calling for help. Airport visitors will see law enforcement, fire, and emergency medical services personnel responding to a simulated emergency. First responders will be using emergency radios, and traffic flow near the airport may be temporarily affected. There are no planned street closures, and airport operations will not be impacted by this training exercise. The Federal Aviation Administration requires all certified commercial airports to perform a full-scale mass casualty training exercise every 3 years. The purpose of this exercise is to train airport staff and local first responders on how to handle an emergency at ACV. The emergency simulation aims to provide a realistic experience of a mass casualty incident, allowing airport partners and first responders from various agencies to practice together, evaluate their emergency response procedures, and strengthen operational relationships. Again, this is a planned simulated emergency, and traffic near the airport may be temporarily affected. Humboldt County has invested federal stimulus money into childcare services, and there's plenty of funding left to do more. Daniel Mentz reports.
Humboldt County recognizes childcare as an important need, and more than $1.5 million has been spent to improve existing childcare facilities and help those who want to start new ones. And that's only part of a total of $4.1 million expected to be spent by the end of 2026. The help is paid for through the county's American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA funding, the federal stimulus package that stemmed from the COVID-19 pandemic. The Board of Supervisors got updated on how the child care funding is being used at its May 21st meeting. Jade Hoff, the program manager for the Arcata Economic Development Corporation, which is administrating the funding, explained the importance of childcare.
Childcare is a very important pillar of our local economy. Each childcare provider allows up to 12 workers to work outside the home. This provides the workforce that's necessary for Humboldt County businesses, and this economic growth ripples out from there. Unfortunately, childcare providers tend to exit the industry pretty quickly. On average, they leave in about 5 years, citing issues such as low income, lack of support, and lack of career growth. And this leads to issues with Humboldt families being able to access childcare.
In 2022, supervisors approved using $4.8 million of ARPA funding for childcare. To date, about $1.5 million has been spent on childcare programs, including hiring and retention bonuses for childcare workers, working family subsidies, and forgivable loans for investments in childcare facilities. One of the beneficiaries of the loan program is Beginnings in Bryceland, which was able to replace what Hoff described as quite the ramshackle fence at its childcare facility. Supervisor Michelle Bushnell said childcare facilities need the help.
The difference that you made in the childcare facilities with this money is so important. And I know in the rural areas, Bryceland, that area would have never been able to do the fencing, and it's really important out there. It's a very rural childcare center. And for the rural areas, and even for not the rural areas, childcare is very difficult when you're a young mom, young dad, trying to work and trying to figure out how to even find childcare. There's just aren't that many providers. And so I just appreciate the work that you guys have done with that money and the childcare facilities that you have saved, and it's made them possible to move forward.
Hoff said an effort dubbed Childcare Champions has just launched. She described it as a group of childcare specialists and business owners and community leaders committed to supporting local childcare services. The California Center for Rural Policy at Cal Poly Humboldt is part of it and is doing a childcare needs assessment. Hoff said what's called the big audacious goal is to make sure everyone in the county who needs childcare services is able to get them. Asked about the loan program, she said there's more than $200,000 of funding remaining to be spent on it to help with improvement and startups.
Anytime I see somebody who's interested in opening childcare, I reach out to them. So I'll see things in like Facebook mom groups and things like that where they're like, oh, I'm thinking about opening a childcare. And I, you know, DM them like, I have money. And so I really just try to encourage people anytime I can to pursue that. And I've also reached out to childcare workers that I've met who've expressed that they were interested in possibly opening their own businesses and encouraged them. So yeah, I definitely wanted to use some of the forgivable loan fund towards seed capital for new businesses, not just maintaining what we have, but to hopefully grow our capacity.
The childcare effort will expand with a new program this fall. Educational support will be available to those who want to learn about early childhood education and to those already in the field who seek additional certifications. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
The Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue Team is hosting their annual barbecue fundraiser this Friday, June 7th, from 11 a.m. to dusk at the Garberville Town Square. Serenity Wood reports.
Southern Humboldt is home to some of the swiftest rivers and steepest ridges on the northwestern continent. When even experienced hikers slip off cliffs or go missing in the wilderness, the tireless community defenders and first responders of the Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue Team are there to provide rescue services to our remote, rugged, rural area. Their response area measures roughly 1,000 square miles, including the Mattole River, much of the Eel River, and 35 miles of the Lost Coast. The team is made up entirely of volunteer firefighters who, in addition to their fire education, have trained extensively in rope rescue, swift water and flood rescue, urban and wilderness search and rescue, and emergency medical services. I spoke with Coy Nguyen about their upcoming barbecue fundraiser this Friday, June 7th, at the Garberville Town Square.
On June 7th at the Garberville Town Square, we'll be holding our annual fundraiser barbecue. It's been a couple years, so we're back. Currently, we're compiled of a team of firefighters that are volunteer, and we dedicate even more time to technical rescue. We train in rope rescue and swift water rescue. We are funded by Measure Z, the volunteer fire departments, and community members. And we currently need funding for our technical rescue station. We are currently also looking to obtain new equipment and replace our older equipment that has, you know, been through rescue operations and training, because our ropes are under constant stress, both from going on rescues and training, and as well as other PPE and equipment that the team needs. So aside from the donations from the public, the community is in need of more volunteer firefighters. There's quite a few different projects that we're working on that will require the participation of the community itself, but as well as, you know, we need a new generation of firefighters to join the fold. I am seeing more participation of younger people joining the departments, and it's a really good thing to see, but we definitely need more, and who better to be a part of the volunteer fire department than people that have, you know, either lived here for a while or grown up here. Even if you're really not particularly interested in going on medical calls or joining in on an actual firefight, you know, there are different roles that individuals can play. Come to the barbecue and, you know, we'll try to recruit you.
The Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue Team annual barbecue fundraiser will start at 11 a.m. and continue until dusk in the Garberville Town Square. They will be serving pulled pork, brisket sandwiches, and vegan jackfruit sandwiches by Dustin Silva from Tree Nug Farms, plus oysters by, quote, Kyle the Oyster Guy. Local wine and beer, as well as baked goods and merchandise, will be available. There will be live music starting at 3 p.m. by Emily Totten, Damien Rumetz, Ishi Doobie, and Intergalactic Trash. For KMUD News, I'm Serenity Wood.
As the central Southern Humboldt hub, Garberville has been experiencing a crisis of closing businesses due to a collapse of the local economy. Meanwhile, the area's healthcare district is expanding. With a new hospital facility slated to open in 2029 and the opening of ancillary services underway, KMUD News spoke with Soham Health's Outreach Director and Development Director, Chelsea Brown, about the upcoming projects and the key role Soham Health plays in the remote area's healthcare district.
We operate the only hospital for a 100-mile stretch of Highway 101, so the next closest medical facilities like ours are in Fortuna to the north or Willits to the south. So our emergency department plays a large role in helping people if they've been in an accident or tourists in the area and locals alike, so they don't have to travel as far to get to medical care.
Soham Health opened the Garberville Pharmacy in 2021 in the wake of the closure of Pharmacy Express, allowing residents access to medications they were forced to drive a minimum of 40 minutes north to receive. Soham Health is also looking to fill the need left when local optometrist Roy Baker retired.
We are actively working to recruit hopefully two more optometrists so that we can open an office down in Garberville. So we have purchased the former Hemp Connection building. We're going to be renovating that and getting it up to all the codes for a medical clinic. And we're working to recruit an optometrist. So that's one of our big hurdles right now. And so as soon as we do that, we should be able to start some optometry services in Garberville so people don't have to travel out of the area. We also purchased a mobile optometry unit, which some people may have seen. It's actually parked behind the pharmacy. Part of our plan is to be able to offer optometry in some of these outlying areas as well. So that's one of the big endeavors that we're doing. We're also trying to offer some mental health services, since that's something that's requested all the time. Many of the patients that come in for a primary care visit, up to 50% of them also are requesting to have some mental health therapy or just assistance with anxiety, depression. So we're really working on having somewhere to send those people so they have somewhere to go to get that kind of help. So some people might remember the hospital district had planned to open a new program called Senior Life Solutions. And it's a therapy program that's aimed specifically at seniors 65 and older, and it offers group therapy and individual therapy at our facility. So that program, we're pretty close to starting up again. It kind of started and then had to stop because of the pandemic. Now that should be starting in the next few months. We also have some licensed clinical social workers that we're hoping to bring onto our staff soon, so that we'll have some therapy for patients that aren't able to do the Senior Life Solutions program.
The expansion comes when the healthcare district is seeing an influx of patients from Northern Humboldt seeking patient care.
It seems to just be getting more and more difficult for people to find primary care in Northern Humboldt. So we're actually having an influx of people traveling down to Garberville to get primary care, which we're happy to accept anybody that needs primary care, but it is causing us to have to schedule out farther for new patients. So we are still accepting new patients, but we might not be able to get somebody in for a couple of months is what our current status is. And we're giving special priority to people who live in Southern Humboldt to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our local community.
Though the impetus for a new hospital campus was state seismic requirements slated to take effect in 2030, requirements that current legislation may ease and/or extend, the new hospital will be a much-needed improvement for the expanding needs of the district, Brown said.
Regardless of what happens on the legislative front, we're still moving forward with building our hospital in Garberville. So we have been working with the architect team. It's been about a year now. We started last April, officially had like the kickoff meeting for the design phase. So we're making sure that the new facility is going to meet all of our needs and be affordable for, and will be ready open before the 2030 deadline. So we're moving forward with that, and it's all on track to be ready and done at the beginning of 2029 is when we'll be opening. They meet regularly with the managers of the departments. So like the lab manager and radiology and all the people that are involved in the day-to-day and know how all their processes work and stuff. So we're making sure that the facility we're designing is really going to improve the processes and healthcare that we're able to offer. So it's going to be extremely incredible once it's finally built.
The project remains on track.
It is, yeah. We are still on track. The cost has gone up. So there's a few points during the design process where they do like a cost estimate. The committee is working closely to make sure that it's not, you know, getting so expensive that it's not going to be doable for our community.
Brown stated that local-run healthcare is more important now than ever.
As we're kind of seeing some of the hospitals up north being like Providence getting bought out, and now their headquarters are way out of California, you know, out of Humboldt County, and how that affects the healthcare that they're offering when the people that are running it are so far removed. And that's something that's really different about Soham Health is that we're locally run, you know, our governing board makes all the decisions about what happens here, and all the people offering healthcare live in the community and know. We're all really connected. So I think it's becoming more and more rare for healthcare facilities to be run that way, but it really gives us a lot of ability to pivot and find out about something that needs to happen in the community and respond quickly. Those are some of the things that I think make Soham Health really unique and really just kind of special compared to a lot of healthcare facilities around the state and country.
Though the hospital facility is slated to move to the Sproul Creek campus in 2029, seismic upgrades are currently being completed on the current hospital that will become an expanded nursing facility.
We're really excited about that because that's going to make it so that after we construct the new hospital, our long-term plan is to keep the skilled nursing unit in that building and expand it to more people. So doing this upgrade is going to allow that building, the life of that building, to be extended.
For more, go to sohumhealth.org. Ray Hamill brings us details of all the big local sports stories of the week, including state playoff games for the Ferndale High baseball and the South Fork High softball teams, as well as news of the Humboldt County eighth grader who has qualified for this year's National Junior High Rodeo Finals in Iowa.
The Ferndale Wildcats capped a memorable season on the baseball field with a trip to the NorCal State Playoffs this week. Hello and welcome to this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on that story in just a moment, and we'll also be taking a look at some of the other big local sports stories this week, including all the latest high school baseball and softball news, some Little League news, how one local athlete closed out her high school career with a bang, some good news for College of the Redwoods volleyball and baseball teams, and how one local 8th grader has qualified for the National Junior High Rodeo Finals in Iowa. But first up, the Ferndale Wildcats return to the State NorCal playoffs in baseball for the second straight year this week. On Tuesday, the Cats won their NorCal opener, beating Aetna 8-6 at Ferndale High School to advance to Thursday's semifinals. Unfortunately, however, that was as far as they would go, as they fell 10-0 at Woodland Christian in the Division 5 semifinals. Despite the loss, the season will go down as one of the most memorable in school history. In early May, the Cats won a first Little Four championship in 19 years, and they followed that with a Division 6 North Coast Section championship after beating Point Arena 17-5 in last week's championship game. The South Fork Cubs also qualified for the State NorCal softball playoffs for the first time ever. Fresh off their big NCS championship, the South Fork girls received a number 7 seed for the Division 5 NorCal tournament and welcomed the number 2 seeded Los Molinos girls to Miranda on Tuesday. Unfortunately for the Cubs, however, they would fall 10-1 to end a memorable season. Their postseason success this spring came just 1 year after they were unable to even field a team in 2023, and afterwards head coach Lisa Todd paid tribute to her players for what they accomplished. Quote, "I'm proud of these girls," the 3-time NCS winning coach said. "They worked hard all year and it showed in the end of the season. I felt like we basically started from scratch this year. They didn't play last year and they needed time to work together," end quote. Also in action in the NorCal playoffs this week, the Del Norte girls fell 14-2 to East Nicholas in the Division 4 softball quarterfinals. And the St. Bernard's girls lost 11-1 to Leigh High School in San Jose in the Division 5 bracket. In local Little League baseball, meanwhile, an outstanding season ended in scary circumstances for the Southern Humboldt Junior Tournament of Champions team late last week. The young SoHum players completed an undefeated season with another dominating performance, beating the Klamath Trinity Rangers 11-5 at the Arcata Ballpark in the TOC Championship game. However, a nasty collision near third base between two of the Southern Humboldt players ended the game early as both players were taken to hospital. According to head coach Jessica Mulder, whose son Tyson was involved in the collision, both players were knocked unconscious. 1 week later, both players are doing better, but neither is expected back on the field this summer. Both of them played huge roles for their team all season long and helped lead them to a perfect 13-0 record. The Southern Humboldt Juniors, who have yet to celebrate their championship, will be honored at this year's District 26 12U All-Star Tournament, which will be hosted by Southern Humboldt Little League and gets underway on June 29th. Elsewhere in local sports, the high school track and field season officially ended last weekend with two HDNL standouts qualifying for the state championships in Clovis. St. Bernard's senior Madeline Shanahan closed out a very impressive high school career by placing 14th in the state in the girls' discus. The senior multi-sport standout, who also was a conference MVP in volleyball and soccer and an all-state selection in basketball, broke her PR in the discus by a remarkable 10 feet on her way to throwing 132 feet 2 inches. Her St. Bernard's teammate, junior Layla Florvillis, also travelled south for the state championships and placed 21st overall in the girls' 100-metre hurdles with a time of 15.31 seconds. Fortuna senior Russell Pascasio also qualified for the big meet in the boys' high jump, but did not make the trip because of graduation last Friday at Fortuna High School. In local college volleyball, new College of the Redwoods head coach Kayla Costello has been busy recruiting this spring and is expecting to field an all local team this coming fall. In addition to her team's 3 returning sophomores, Costello has added former Arcata Tiger Lillian Rust Kelly, Fortuna's Anna Stacey and McKinleyville's Rowan Doran, all of whom are expected to have an immediate impact with the team. The three returning sophomores are Kylie Fennell, Caroline Dyker, and Olivia Railsback, and all three, according to their coach, have been setting a good example for their new teammates in the off-season program this spring. Costello is still hoping to add two more local standouts in the coming weeks. The College of the Redwoods football team, meanwhile, recently finalized its schedule for the upcoming fall season, and the Corsairs will get a rematch against Hartnell College, the team they beat in the 2023 Grizzly Bowl, in their home opener on September 14th. The Corsairs rolled over Hartnell in December's postseason showdown at the Redwood Bowl and won 63-0, giving the program its first bowl victory in 30 years. The Corsairs will play five home games this fall, all of them at Cal Poly Humboldt's Redwood Bowl. College of the Redwoods baseball also has been busy preparing for next season with the recent addition of two local standouts. Pitchers Drew Franklin of Fortuna and Jorge Lopez of Eureka both signed letters of intent to play for the team next year. Sticking with baseball, the Humboldt Crabs will begin the 2024 season on Friday night when they welcome Seals Baseball to the Arcata Ballpark. First pitch is set for 7 p.m. and the two clubs will also play each other on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon before the Crabs entertain the Humboldt Eagles on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And finally this week, Fortuna Middle School 8th grader Caden Mangrum is getting set for a big summer. The 14-year-old is coming off an impressive spring competing around the state in junior rodeo, and he will join around 1,200 middle schoolers from all around the nation at the 2024 National Junior High Rodeo Finals in Iowa in late June. Mangrum qualified for the national event in the Junior Bull Riding and Bareback Steer Riding Competition. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
Ocean Expedition seeks to map California biodiversity. Suzanne Potter reports.
Marine researchers just wrapped up the first of three ocean expeditions off the coast of Southern California to map the biodiversity and support efforts to safeguard ocean animals from harmful fishing practices. The nonprofit Oceana recently teamed up with a company called Blancpain to map and photograph undersea life around the Channel Islands. Oceana's California campaign director and senior scientist Jeff Schuster says the area is threatened by fishing gear from huge set gillnets.
This type of fishing is a series of nets that can be over 20 football fields long, catches everything from gray whales and humpback whales to sea lions and a whole variety of sensitive fish and shark species.
The California Fish and Game Commission is considering rules that would reduce bycatch in the set gillnet fishery. Set gillnets are banned in state waters off the mainland, but are still allowed around the Channel Islands and in federal waters starting 3 miles offshore. Today, conservation groups celebrate the International Day for Biological Diversity. Schuster says the Channel Islands biodiversity makes the area the Galapagos of North America.
We've got these amazing kelp forests teeming with life, deep sea coral and sponge gardens that are just as colorful as anything you might see in a tropical coral reef. Once people realize what's at stake here, I hope that that results in more of a drive to conserve these special areas.
He says the mission also collected water samples for DNA analysis, did scuba diving surveys of habitat and fish diversity, piloted a new underwater vehicle, and collected samples to detect potential microplastics in the water column. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Katie Phillips. And thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz, Serenity Wood, Ray Hamill, and Ben Klein. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605. Or send an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.